Please pray with me. Almighty God, as we gather to receive your word, we humbly seek your guidance. Please illuminate our hearts and minds with your wisdom. May your spirit be present in this moment, leading us to an understanding of your word. Grant me insight to convey your message effectively. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I usually start off with a joke. I'm sorry, there's nothing to joke about this morning. But I do have some good news and bad news. Actually, I have two pieces of good news. First of all, I'm not going to talk about the Trinity. I tried that once, it didn't go so well. The other piece of good news is this sermon may be shorter or longer than our Old Testament reading. I leave that up to your discretion. This is better than telling a joke. The bad news is, it's all gonna require us to do something when we leave here. And as I used to say, fast and in a hurry. So as Steve would say, let's just dive right in. So various gospel emphasize different aspects of the Great Commission. Luke limits his to Jesus' resurrection's appearance in Jerusalem and emphasizes repentance and forgiveness of sins. In Acts 1:8, Luke recounts Jesus' promise of power and commandment to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. In the Gospel of John, Jesus gives the disciples power to forgive or retain sins, John 20:23. From the beginning, Matthew has emphasized Jesus' teaching. The Sermon on the Mount, early in Jesus' ministry, constitutes the largest bodies of Jesus' teaching in the New Testament. Now, Matthew portrays Jesus' last act of ministry as teaching his disciples the basics of Christian ministry: going, baptizing, making disciples, teaching. So we will see in the book of Acts that the church takes on evangelical, missionary orientation character that is different from what we have seen from the disciples so far. The explanation for this change is, one, the disciples have seen the risen Christ, and two, are responding to Jesus' great commission. This text has had significant influence on the church. It stamps Jesus' approval on baptism as a key element of discipleship and makes baptism normative for Christians. It gives the Trinitarian formula, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that the church has followed through the centuries. It also emphasizes the key role of baptism in Christian discipleship. Go and make disciples of all nations. Ethne is the Greek word. You'll hear more about that later. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. In the Greek, make disciples is the only imperative verb. Going, baptizing, and teaching are participles. That's all I remember from my English degree. Subordinate to make disciples. The mission is to make disciples. And to accomplish this mission, disciples must go, baptize, and teach. So there's an imperative quality to each of those. But the only imperative verb in the primary mission is to make disciples. So what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, a student, a follower, a person committed to learning what a teacher has to teach. Typically, a young man aspiring to be a rabbi would ask a practicing rabbi to accept him as a disciple. A modern parallel would be an apprentice or a student musician asking a master musician to be his or her teacher. At 8 o'clock, I singled out the other two people in the congregation, which was Dayton, and said, Dayton has students. He is their master. The disciple is expected not only to learn what the rabbi teaches, but also to practice what the rabbi teaches. In other words, the idea is simply not just learning, but also living. Hence, teaching them to observe all things that I command you in verse 20 is a natural component of Jesus' Great Commission. It's interesting to see what Jesus includes and does not include in his commissioning. He doesn't command his disciples to preach, to evangelize, to win the world. He charges them with the responsibility of replicating their own kind by creating new disciples, new people of faith. They're to make disciples of all ethne. And this is another allusion to Daniel 7:14, which says, all people, all nations and languages should serve him. The word ethne, ethnu, is usually translated nations, but Greek-speaking Jews also use it to refer to Gentiles. And earlier, Jesus instructed the disciples, don't go among the Gentiles, don't enter into any city of the Samaritans. Now he removes that prohibition. The disciples worked first among Jews. Now they will expand their mission to include Gentiles. Jesus has risen, appeared to the disciples over a period of 40 days, teaching them about the kingdom of God. It is not just, oh, by the way, it appears in all four of the Gospels. As I said in Mark, it says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. In Luke 24, 46 to 47, this is what is written. Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of all sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. And then in John 20, 21, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And even in the books of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. This really begins in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, when God told Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. The nation of Israel was to tell others about their great God. Did not do so, so God is working through the church to accomplish his great commission. Witnessing is simply telling people the difference Christ has made in your life. Sharing your love for Christ should be easy as sharing your devotion to the Tar Heels, the Blue Devils, the former Redskins, the Panthers, or whatever sports team you watch. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The final words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel are not merely a conclusion. They are a commissioning. These words are not spoken to a few spiritual elites. They're spoken to ordinary disciples who had known failure, doubt, fear, and weakness. Yet Christ entrusted them with the greatest mission the world has ever known. The Great Commission is not simply a command to the church, it's the identity of the church. And it begins with the authority of Christ. Jesus begins by declaring, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Before Jesus gives a command, he gives a promise about who he is. The mission of the church rests upon the authority of Christ. He is not merely just a teacher offering advice. He is the risen Lord reigning over heaven and earth. The disciples were about to go into a very hostile world. They would receive persecution, rejection, imprisonment, and even death. Yet they were sent with divine authority. The church today must remember that we do not operate on cultural approval, political influence, or human strength. We stand under the authority of the crucified and risen Christ. When Christ says go, we can go with confidence. Jesus did not say, go make converts, through conversion matters. He said, make disciples. A disciple is more than just a church member. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus, learns from Jesus, obeys Jesus, and becomes more like Jesus. The mission of the church is not merely attendance, but transformation. Discipleship requires several things: teaching truth, modeling faith, walking with people, encouraging obedience, and forming Christ-like character. Too often, churches celebrate decisions but neglect formation. Yet Jesus calls us to nurture believers into maturity. The Great Commission hopefully reminds us that Christianity is not a moment. It's a lifelong journey of following Christ. Jesus says, make disciples of all nations. This was revolutionary. The gospel was never intended for one tribe, one ethnicity, one social class. The heart of the gospel has always embraced everyone. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, Scripture reveals God's desire to redeem people from every language, culture, and group. The church must never become inward focused. We are called beyond our comfort zone, beyond our walls, beyond our personal preferences, beyond our communities, beyond our fears. And hopefully the Great Commission challenges prejudice, complacency, and isolation. We are sent people, baptizing and teaching. Jesus gives two practical expressions of the discipleship. Baptizing is a public declaration of belonging to Christ. It symbolizes death to sin and resurrection into new life. Jesus specifically commands baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I believe this is the only place in the Bible where the Trinitarian formula is pronounced by Jesus. But here we see the beautiful, oh, matching that word again, Trinity, working together in salvation, teaching. Jesus also says, teach them everything that I have obeyed you, I have commanded to you. So the church is not only, we're not only called to inspire people emotionally, but to teach faithfully. Christian maturity requires instruction in the Word of God. Why? Because biblical teaching shapes our values, shapes our relationships, shapes our ethics, shapes our worship, and shapes our witness. The Great Commission calls the church to both evangelism and discipleship. Jesus chose with one of the most comforting promises in Scripture, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age. The disciples, like ourselves, will never be alone. The mission is difficult. There will be times of discouragement. Some will reject the message. Others will mock the faith. At times, the church may feel weak or overwhelmed. But the success of the mission does not solely depend on our human ability. Christ himself goes with us, and his presence gives us courage in fear, strength in weakness, hope in suffering, perseverance in ministry. The Great Commission asks every believer, who am I discipling? Where is God calling me to serve? Am I living as a witness for Christ? Have I been comfortable instead of commissioned? Not everyone is called to travel across the world, but every Christian is called to participate in the mission of God. Some go, some send, some teach, some pray, some encourage, some give, but all are called. The church does not merely exist to preserve tradition or maintain institutions. The church exists to proclaim Christ and make disciples. The Great Commission is still unfinished. There are still broken hearts to heal, lost souls to reach, hungry people to feed, and nations to hear the gospel. At the same, Jesus, who stood with those very first disciples, stands with his church today. So we go with courage, we go with compassion, we go with conviction. For Christ is risen, Christ is reigning, and Christ is always with us. Amen.